بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we went through Takbiratul Tahreem, which is the first takbir that a person says to start or initiate the prayer. And we mentioned that the meaning of takbir isn't raising the hands necessarily, but saying Allahu Akbar. So the rukn, the pillar of the prayer, is in saying Allahu Akbar. And if a person begins the prayer without saying Allahu Akbar or forgets to say Allahu Akbar, then his prayer is not valid. And as for raising of the hands, then the majority of the fuqaha said that it is mustahab. It is something which is recommended. And the Ahnaf rahimahumullah, they said it is wajib. And in this lesson we come to Dua al-Istiftah. Dua al-Istiftah. Dua al-Istiftah, this is the dua that a person makes after the first takbir and before starting Surah al-Fatiha. So that dua that a person makes, it is called Dua al-Istiftah. And the meaning of istiftah is to open something. So the reason why Dua al-Istiftah is called Dua al-Istiftah, because after Takbiratul Ihram, the prayer is initiated with it. And Dua al-Istiftah, it is said once in the first rak'ah after Takbiratul Ihram. And then it is not repeated again in any of the rak'ahs. And the hukam, the ruling of Dua al-Istiftah, is that it is sunnah, it is mustahab. Meaning it is something which is recommended. If you say Dua al-Istiftah, then you are rewarded for it. And if a person doesn't say Dua al-Istiftah, then there is no sin and the prayer is still valid and complete. And for this reason, if a person forgets to say Dua al-Istiftah, meaning Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, or the other du'as which you're going to go through, if a person forgets to say this, then there's no sujoodu sahu. You don't need to make sujoodu sahu, the sujood of forgetfulness. And neither does a person need to repeat a rak'ah or make qadha of dua al-istiftah and read it again at another time. And this is the general ruling with all of the sunan. So all of the recommended actions in the salah, if a person forgets one of them, then you don't need to make sujood sahu. And it's your choice whether to say it or not to say it. The salah is still valid, but there's more reward in saying it. And it's more closer to following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And also with regards to Dua al-Istiftah, there are different narrations which mention different types of du'as which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to make before Surah al-Fatiha, after Takbiratul Tahreem. And I think there is more than 6 or 7 du'as. We have here 6, and then there's other du'as which have not been mentioned. The sunnah is to sometimes say one du'a, and another time say another du'a, and a third time say a third du'a, and like this. And that a person shouldn't say all of the du'as or more than one du'a in one single salah. And neither should a person only say one du'a. It is better to say different du'as and alternate between them. And Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, he said, يُسْتَحَبُّ أَنْ يَأْتِ بِالْعِبَادَاتِ الْوَارِدَةِ عَلَى وُجُوهٍ وَصِيَغٍ مُتَنَوِّعَةٍ بِكُلِّ نَوْعٍ بِمُفْرَدِهِ. That it is more recommended for a person to mention each individual du'a at different times. وَلَا يَجْمَعْ بَيْنَهُمَا. And a person should not mention all of these du'as at the same time. وَلَا يُدَاوِمْ عَلَى نَوْعٍ وَاحِدٍ. And neither should a person only say a single dua. So we should try to learn at least two or three different du'as from the du'a al-istiftah, which we're going to go through. And then in different salawat, we say the different types of du'a. And of course, du'a al-istiftah, it is said silently or quietly, whether it's a fard prayer or whether it is a nafl prayer, regardless of whether that person is the imam or the person praying behind the imam. And the first du'a that we're going to go through is the one which is most common and most known. It is Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa tabarakasmuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruk. And this is the dua I think almost all of us will have memorized and learned when we were younger. This dua, the scholars have differed whether it is authentically narrated or attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Allah knows best, but the ulama, they mentioned that it is authentically narrated from Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to make this dua in as dua al-istiftah. As for whether he narrated it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is where there is a difference of opinion. And when a person begins this dua, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, the first thing we say is Subhanaka. And this is called in Arabic at-tasbih. So Subhanaka or Subhanallah is tasbih. Alhamdulillah is at-tahmid. La ilaha illallah is called at-tahleel. And Allahu Akbar is called at-takbir. So Subhanaka, this is at-tasbih. At-tasbih. And the meaning of Subhanaka is tanzihullah an kulli naqsin wa aib. It is that a person is freeing Allah from every type of deficiency and every type of weakness. And this is in His that, in the essence of Allah, there is no weakness or deficiency. In His sifat, in His attributes and descriptions, there is no weakness or deficiency. And in His af'al, in His actions, there is no deficiency or imperfection or any weakness. And this is the meaning of Subhanaka, that O Allah, You are glorified and You are above and You are free from kulli naqsin wa'ib. Every type of weakness or deficiency or blemish, it is not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the second word we say is Allahumma. And Allahumma is an Arabic word. The origin of this word is Ya Allah. The origin of Allahumma is Ya Allah. And then the Arabs, when we say Arabs, we say meaning the beginning of the Arabic language, the Arabs, they took away the Ya and they replaced it with a meem at the end. So instead of it becoming Ya, being Ya Allah, it became Allahumma. And it means the same thing, O Allah. And this is called An-Nida, that you are calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are invoking Allah. And then we say, Wa bihamdika. And hamd is wasful mahmud bil kamal mahabbatan wa ta'zima. The meaning of hamd is for a person to ascribe perfection to the one he's praising, meaning to Allah, mahabbatan wa ta'ziman, out of love and out of exaltation. So the meaning of alhamd or alhamdulillah or wa bihamdika is that a person is attributing perfection to Allah out of your love for Him and out of you exalting, venerating and honoring Him. And why do we say muhabbatan wa ta'zima? Why out of love and exaltation? Because in the dunya there is something which is called false praise. And false praise people say to each other for various reasons. Maybe it's out of fear. Maybe a person needs something from that person, so he shows him false praise. As for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we praise Him and when we attribute perfection to Him, it's because we truly love Allah and we exalt Him and we honor Him. And again, Allah has perfection in His that, in His essence, and in His sifat, in His attributes and descriptions, and His af'al, and His actions. So if a person knows that every action of Allah is perfect, then you know that Allah can never wrong you, and Allah can never oppress you, and anything which you go through, it is due to a wisdom. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that even if you are going through a time in which there is difficulty, you say Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. All praises for Allah in every situation. And if you understand what Alhamd means, meaning perfection is for Allah in His actions, in His decree, in His ruling, this is why you say Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. The actions of Allah, they revolve around two things. Either al-adl, justice, or al-ihsan, goodness and kindness. Every action of Allah, it is either justice or kindness, virtue and generosity. So Allah said with regards to those people who do evil, He said, وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا, that the punishment for an evil deed, the punishment for an evil action is one evil deed like it. If a person does something which is wrong, he did one evil action, Allah gives him one bad deed. And this is complete justice. That you do one evil action, Allah gives one evil deed. This is justice. So this is al-adl. And when Allah spoke about those people who do good deeds, He said, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا, that whoever does a righteous action, then his reward is magnified and multiplied 10 times. And this is al-ihsan. This is generosity. Because usually we would say, if a person does something bad, he's punished once. If a person does something good, he's rewarded once. But we said the actions of Allah between al-adl wal-ihsan, between justice and then generosity. So justice for those who do evil, He only punishes them once. And al-ihsan, generosity and virtue for those who do good, because He magnifies their reward 10 times up to 700 times, as is in the hadith al-Qudsi. And when we bring together subhanaka and wabihamdika, then this is perfect praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because subhanaka is tanzih, we're freeing Allah from imperfection, and bihamdika is ithbat, we are affirming perfection for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what a person should be contemplating. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, meaning, O Allah, You are free from every imperfection, and at the same time, every perfection is for You, Jalla Jalalu. And then we say, wa tabaraka smuka. And the meaning of tabaraka is something which contains baraka. And baraka is goodness. Tabaraka smuka, meaning, and Your name, O Allah, this name Allah, and all of the names of Allah Jalla Jalalu, they have barakah in them, they have goodness in them. And for this reason, to give you an example of the barakah which is in the names of Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that if you mention the name of Allah when you eat food, then shaitan has no share of that food. If you don't mention the name of Allah, then shaitan is there as well. This is the barakah of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we slaughter an animal, if you say Bismillah, if you mention the name of Allah, this animal now becomes halal for you. If you slaughter the same animal and you don't mention the name of Allah, then it is considered as being a mayta. And a mayta is a dead carcass which is najas, it is impure. So this is the barakah from the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this reason, you will notice that in every single action, we are encouraged to say Bismillah. Before eating, before slaughtering, when putting on new clothes, before drinking, before going out, Bismillah wa tawakkaltu ala Allah wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, in order that we seek blessing with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ta'ala jadduka. The meaning of ta'ala is from the attribute al-ulu. And al-ulu means to be high and elevated. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is high and elevated in His that, in His presence. He's above, meaning above the heavens. He isn't everywhere in His that. And also in His attributes. His attributes are the most high and most elevated. And the meaning of jadduka is al-azama, meaning the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is high, elevated and raised. And then we say, وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكُ. And وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكُ is like لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. And this is known as كَلِمَةُ التَّوْحِيدِ, the phrase or the statement of التَّوْحِيدِ. And the statement of Tawheed, La ilaha illallah or La ilaha ghayruk, it has two pillars. The first pillar is An-Nafi, you have to negate something. And the second pillar is Al-Ithbat, you have to affirm something. So when we say La ilaha illallah or La ilaha ghayruk, what are we negating, what are we affirming? La ilaha means we reject every other deity and God. This is the meaning of La ilaha. So we reject and we negate any other god or deity or being who is worshipped. And illallah is now ithbat, is an affirmation, meaning you are affirming your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person says that I am going to call to tawheed but I'm not going to warn against a shirk, we say you have not affirmed la ilaha illallah. If a person says I believe in the worship of Allah but at the same time the Christians and who they worship and the Jews who they worship, they are also correct, this person has not believed in Tawheed. A person can only be a Muslim if he affirms both of these pillars, and Nafi wal Ithbat, La ilaha illallah. Reject all of the other false deities and affirm your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is in many ayat in the Quran. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ. Allah said in Surah Al-Baqarah, and whoever rejects the false deities and has iman in Allah. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ إِنَّنِي بَرِيءٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ. When Ibrahim alayhi salam said to his father and his people, I free myself from that which you do, that which you worship. And then he said, إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي, except the one who has created me, فَإِنَّهُ سَيَهْدِينَ, he will guide me. So first he negated and he freed worship of all of the other deities, and then he affirmed the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the meaning of Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa tabarak asmuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruk. So this dua, it contains the tasbih of Allah and it contains the tahmid of Allah and it teaches about the barakah in the name of Allah and it teaches about the high status of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and al-ulu and also at-tawheed. And then also there is another dua which a person can make and it is Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriqi wal-maghrib. Allahumma naqini min al-khatayaya kama yunqa al-thawb al-abyadu min al-danas. Allahumma ghsil khatayaya bil-ma'i wal-thalji wal-barad. And the meaning of this dua is, O Allah, make a distance between me and my sins, just as you have distanced between the east and the west. O Allah, clean me from my sins, just as a white thobe, a white garment is cleansed from impurities. O Allah, wash away my sins with water, snow and barad and coldness. So this dua, it is narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to make it. It is in both Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, and Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he narrates it. And there are three duas which are contained in this. The first dua is Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriqi wal-maghrib. O Allah, place a distance between me and my sins, just as you have distance between the east and the west. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to mention the east and the west? Because in the earth, the greatest distance which a person can have is one thing is in the east and another thing is in the west. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make a dua that distance me from my sins, just as you have placed a distance between the east and the west. And the meaning of distance me from my sins, there are two meanings. Either distance me from the sins so I don't commit those sins. Keep me far away from the sins. Save me from the sins so I don't fall into sinning. Or the second meaning is, and both of these meanings are included, that distance me and the sins, meaning from the punishment of the sins. So even if I do fall into a sin, then keep your punishment, O Allah, far away from me. And then the second dua which is contained is وَنَقِّنِي مِنَ الْخَطَايَا كَمَا يُنَقَّ الثَّوْبَ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الدَّنَسِ, and cleanse me from my sins just as a white garment is cleansed from impurity. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention a white garment? Why not a black garment, a green, brown? Why a white garment? Why do you think? I think the answer is obvious, inshallah. Why a white garment?
It's dirty
easily. Because it gets dirty easily, but more so that cleanliness is shown in a white garment. So for example, if it's a dark garment, if it's placed in the wash, even if some of the impurity remains, you can't really see it. But why? Because the color is darker anyway. But when you have a white garment, any speck of dirt on a white garment, it is very clear and easy to be seen. And this is the beautiful example which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave, that oh Allah, clean me from my sins, just like how clean and pure a white garment is, that if there was a single speck of impurity on it, then it can be easily noticed and seen. And then he said, وَغْسِلْنِي بِالْمَاءِ وَالثَّلْجِ وَالْبَرَدِ, اللَّهُمَّ اغْسِلْ خَطَايَايَ بِالْمَاءِ وَالثَّلْجِ وَالْبَرَدِ, O Allah, cleanse me from my sins with water and snow and al-barad. What do we notice from water and snow and al-barad? That it is all wet and cold. As if the Prophet is alluding to extinguishing a fire with water and snow and coldness. And this is because the reality of the sins is the fire. The sins, they lead to the fire. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned water, because water, it extinguishes the fire. And snow extinguishes the fire. And coldness brings relief from the heat of the fire. So this dua, this amazing dua, it contains three levels in it. The first level is, Allahumma ba'idni, O Allah, distance me from the sins so I don't fall into the sins in the first place. This is the first statement. The second statement is, Allahumma naqini, O Allah, cleanse me from my sins, meaning, if I do fall into sins, then cleanse me from that sin. Don't punish me, forgive me for the sins and cleanse me. And then the third level is that if I've fallen into the sin, then don't only cleanse me from the sin, but cleanse me from the effects of that sin. And this is because the sins themselves, they are impurities, but they also have an effect upon a person. And they have an effect upon the heart of a person. And Allah said in the Quran, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Allah said, rather, ran has appeared on their heart because of that which they used to do. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he narrated the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained the meaning of ran. And he said, إِذَا أَذْنَبَ الْعَبْدِ, that whenever a person commits a sin, كَانَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهِ نُكْتَةٌ سَوْدَىٰ, there appears upon his heart a black stain. فَإِن تَابَ وَرَجَعَ, so if a person goes back to Allah, seeks forgiveness, repents, سُقِلَ قَلْبُهُ, then his heart is returned to being white again. فَإِن زَاد زَاد, but if a person continues in sinning, then the black spot, it grows and grows and grows, حَتَّى تَعْلُو, until it takes over the whole heart. And then the Prophet would recite, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, that this stain, it has overtaken their hearts because of that which they used to do. So these three du'as, first of all, Allah, distance me from the sins so I don't fall into them. Secondly, oh Allah, if I do fall into the sins, then cleanse me with your forgiveness. And thirdly, any effects of the sins and any dirt and impurity of the sins, then wash it away with water and snow and coldness. And then the third du'a that is mentioned is Alhamdulillahi hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. And this dua is narrated in Sahih Muslim upon the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. And this contains, of course, at-tahmid, Alhamdulillah. And the meaning of tahmid, we said, is wasful mahmud bil kamal mahabbatan wa ta'zima, is to attribute to Allah every statement of perfection out of love for Him and out of honoring Him. These two words, alhamdulillah. Before hamd, there is alif lam. And before the name of Allah, there is alam lillah. And this alif lam, it has a profound meaning. And this lam before the name of Allah, Allah, lillah, also has a meaning. So in the Arabic language, when we say alhamd, the mufassirun say, this alif lam, it is lil istighraq. And the meaning of istighraq is, it is very comprehensive, it encompasses everything. Meaning when we say alhamd, all praise, or all statements of perfection, this al means every single type of perfection is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning of al-istighraq. That all types of hamd and every type of kamal is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we say lillah, this lam, the mufassirun say it is lil-istihqaq. And the meaning of istihqaq is only Allah is deserving of this. Nobody else is deserving of this. So when we say alhamdulillah, it doesn't mean praise is for Allah. It means every type of perfection is for Allah alone, and nobody else besides Allah is deserving of alhamd, is deserving of every type of perfection. Hamdan kathiran, and much hamd, a lot of hamd. And then tayyiban, and the meaning of tayyiban is something which is good and pure. I, this hamd which we make of Allah, and this salah which we are about to recite and perform, it has to be tayyiban, ay khalisan lillah. It has to be sincerely for the sake of Allah. La riya'a fi. There has to be no showing off in this salah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, inna Allah tayyib wa la yaqbalu illa tayyib. That Allah is good and pure, and He does not accept anything which is not good and pure. Allah only accepts that which is good and pure. So if there is an action and shirk or impurity is mixed in with it, then it is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mubarakan fi, that there is barakah in it. There is barakah in this salah, and there is barakah in this hamd, i.e. there is goodness in it. And then finally, there is another dua which we haven't mentioned here, but it is also contained in Sahih Muslim. We'll just read it and we'll suffice with this. That a person says, inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal ard. That when a person prays, he begins by saying, I turn my face, I direct myself to the one who has created the heavens and the earth. Hanifa. And I am Hanif. The meaning of Hanif is, I'm upon that path, al-mabni ala tawheed al-mail ani shirk, which is upon tawheed and away from ash-shirk. Because Ibrahim alayhi salam, ma kana yahudiyan wala nasraniyan walakin kana hanifa. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was not a Christian, neither was he a Jew, rather he was a hanif. Wa ma kana min al-mushrikeen, and he was not from the people of ash-shirk. So this word hanif, Allah described Ibrahim alayhi salam with it, and he is the one who established at-tawheed, and he broke all those idols. وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and I am not from the mushrikeen. إِنَّ صَلَاتِ, and then a person says, verily my salah, وَنُسُكِ, and my rituals, وَمَحْيَايَ, and my living, وَمَمَاتِ, and my dying, لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Therefore Allah alone, the Lord of the worlds. لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ, and He has no partner. وَبِذَٰلِكَ أُمِرْتُ, and I have been ordered with this. وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and I am the first of the Muslims. We suffice with that. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.